Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Libraries Podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And today we have our first non-librarian, non-student guest, someone who really just purely reads for fun.
Those people are important to us, man.
That's who we are built on. Valdemar Cravassos is here to talk about a book that he came across. I am in a reading challenge with him, and he is currently beating me, will tell you how much he's been reading.
So now y'all have to give me your scores. How many books are you at, Val?
29.
I think I'm at 24 or 23. I am trailing steadily behind him. But he's coming today to talk about a book that he ran across in his prolific reading. So tell us a little bit about the book, the name, maybe what made you pick it up, stuff like that.
Absolutely. First of all, thanks. Thank you, both of you guys, for having me on. This is fun. I like this.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, the book is called Orconomics, and it is, first and foremost, it is a satire, and I would not be surprised at all if the author, Zachary Pike, if this wasn't actually like his own setting for Dungeons and Dragons, just because it feels so fleshed out, and it feels like he really knows the source material, you know, it feels like he knows D&D, and it feels like he knows Tolkien, and, you know, just all that fun high fantasy type stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you even stumble on this book in the first place?
Well, I was looking for more books that are kind of the old forgotten realms, R.A. Salvador type books. Mm-hmm. And this one popped out on there on a long list, along with another one that I won't get into. It. I tried reading and it was not good.
That's for another episode.
Yes. No offense to British literature. I love British literature, but it can be very wordy sometimes.
Yes,
it can.
That
be.
Is very.
Did you know it was a satire when you picked it up? Because Orconomics, I feel like, sounds either like the most boring book in the world or a satire about fantasy.
As soon as I saw the cover of it, I knew exactly that it was going to be a satire. It is literally just an orc dressed up like Abraham Lincoln on the $5 bill. Like, you know what? I need to read this. This looks amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that definitely screams fantasy. So can you tell us a little bit about what it is? Because it's a satire of fantasy, but like, what is the book about? Like, what does it focus on?
Oh gosh, I think when we first talked about it, I said that it was a mixture of D&D, the military industrial complex, and the war with Iraq. Which sounds malicious, but this book is actually extremely fun. It is so much fun. The main character is a dwarf, which, you know, Katie, I know you absolutely love dwarves, especially when you play D&D.
It's true.
So yes, the main character is a dwarf who ends up befriending a goblin. And this is all stuff that you can read on the back. I hate spoilers, personally speaking, so I will not be spoiling anything that you can't read on the back of the book itself.
Ooh, that's a very thick book, too.
Oh, yes.
Held it up, yeah. How many pages is that?
This one was only like, I think 368, something like that.
Oh, okay.
360. The second one is a lot longer, probably about 600 pages, but I blew through that thing very quick.
Okay.
Surprisingly so, yes.
So, sorry, the friend's a goblin.
Yes, and the dwarf is a bit of a legendary hero who has kind of fallen on hard times, you know, that old trope.
Yeah.
And he befriends a goblin, and in there, see, how can I put this? Heroine is a business first and foremost. It's very much like Wall Street. In a way, they will sell off loans to adventuring parties and to other companies to fund to fund dungeon diving and quests and everything in exchange for a certain amount of the treasure with interest included.
Interesting.
Yes. And since the fall of, I guess, the last great big bad evil guy, the more evil creatures have kind of, well, I say, again, evil with quotation marks.
Right.
More evil creatures have kind of moved into becoming proper members of society. So with that, there are less quests and less money to be made for the banks and everything. And that's pretty much what the entire story revolves around. And that's only like a small fraction. That's not including, you know, when the heroes get together. But that is part of the book. I don't want to make it sound boring because, again, I absolutely love this book. And I laughed out loud in this reading the book for the first time in quite a while.
So I have to ask, as somebody who's played like a lot of online RPGs and stuff like that, do they cover or make fun of any of those common tropes, like those stupid quests, like go kill 10 rats or go fetch 10 sticks or
all the time? Actually, in there, the heroes, they have a level system in there.
Okay.
Which just means how good of a hero you are. Like level ones are the starting guys. And it even mentions in there how usually when you're a starting guy, you just have to clear out an attic or, you know, go fetch something. It's really good. It's very self-aware.
Bring me that awesome book. So it does sound that even though it's a satire, it does pick up kind of adjacent, like, heavy issues in society, like, I guess, recession. They're in a recession because they don't have all of these, like, Wall Street bank loans for adventuring parties anymore. Does it cover kind of, like, bigger issues under the guise of making fun of RPGs?
Yes. In here, there's pretty much the equivalent of, I think what you would know is the Alliance and the Horde in World War II.
Okay. Yes. What you would know. yes, of course.
And there, I think they call the Lightkin are the races of man, pathlings, and elves. And they have the Shadowkin, which are the orcs, the kobolds, the gnolls, all that type of stuff. And again, they do have like a bit of an uneasy alliance in there. And that's kind of also like the basis of the book. When I mention more serious topics, I can say that it does deal with classism and also racism as well. And again, I don't want to make this book sound sad or anything, because it is so much fun. I mean, there are definitely some sad parts in it.
Just like a satire, it can deal with those things while also being hilarious.
And does so in an extremely great way, in my opinion. As someone who hasn't read very many satires, or has read a satire without realizing it was a satire until the end said it was a satire, I was like, oh, okay, now everything makes sense.
That's funny.
But luckily for someone like me, it actually has it written on the front.
Written on the front. It lets you know beforehand.
You know what you're getting into.
So what kind of books do you normally read? Just so someone else who might be interested in this can kind of figure out a cross section.
Let's see. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a big fan of R.A. Salvador. Mm-hmm. He wrote The Forgotten Realms. He's more famous for his Dritz Doradin character.
Yes.
He also has a few mm-hmm. other series, more specifically the Demon Awakens trilogy. I think that's what it's called. Don't quote me on that. It's been a while since I've read them, and I don't want you guys to get any kind of emails or anything. I love the Dritz Doradin novels. Anything by R.A. Salvatore is usually pretty great. See, I do read a lot of horror as well. I did get burned out with horror, though.
Yeah.
Which is why I picked up the more lighthearted books, like Orgonomics and the sequel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think that somebody needs to be well-versed in fantasy to really appreciate the book?
I do not, because the author kind of took this into consideration. So at the end of the book, if you don't understand something, he has a glossary in the back.
Oh my gosh.
That's good.
Really good. Yeah, he has a glossary with definitions in the back that'll give you, like, just turning to a page, it says a golem. It'll tell you what a golem is. It'll tell you what a griffin is. It even has his own lore in there also, like the certain gods and goddesses that are mentioned inside of the book. So I would say no. I mean, even if you've just taken a passing glance at the cover of Lord of the Rings, I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
And I feel like that it's the kind of material, like, if you want to get the funny jokes about, like, level ones cleaning out attics, that's not necessarily only like a fantasy RPG trope. Like, if you play any video games, you'll understand.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, remember when I had to, like, learn how to walk in that game, and they just made me walk back and forth and jump over things.
Oh gosh, now that you mention it, it seems like the author really knows his audience.
So as far as the book goes, is it, you said there's a lot of world building, do you get to see a lot of the world, or is it kind of stuck in one place?
Oh, you literally move all around the continent in the book.
Okay, so they are in like an adventuring party, like wandering around seeing the world. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do they form a party?
Yes, they do.
So who all is in the party, if you don't mind my asking?
Of course, there is a bard, of course, over the overly lecherous bard. There is an elven ranger.
Yep.
There are two wizards. Of course, there's the dwarf, the goblin, and also there is a cleric in there as well. But he's not really a cleric. He doesn't have any powers. He's more of a
medicine man.
Yeah. His official title is High Scribe, and he's the one that gets all of them together.
Okay. He's the quest giver.
Oh, yes. Oh, and there's also a fighter. And I'm not going to spoil
any
of them.
Big party.
They are, yes. They're very much a, like, ragtag group of people. They all don't want to be there, but they have to be there due to various circumstances in their lives. It's very fun, like, just getting to know them. And
yeah.
You really do get to know them. They're not just side characters. You actually, or at least in my case, I actually really enjoyed learning more about them. I enjoyed reading about them, having them around in the party. And the more I learned about them, the more I was excited to move on, to read on to it. I was telling Katie, like, man, I'm halfway done and I don't want it to be done.
Did you feel like, because you read the first and the second book, did you think the second book was rehashing what was in the first book, or were there new directions that it was taking?
It went in an entirely different direction from what I thought it would. It definitely didn't rehash it. Okay. The only thing I can say that did kind of, well, I guess we're doing this, was the party splitting up and then coming back together. But as I read on through that entire little section, then come back to them, you know, this is very fun too. This is,
yeah.
Them coming back together, it's really good.
We're getting the band so. Back together.
For a reunion tour.
So what kind of person, if you were going to recommend this book just to general audiences, what kind of reader would you recommend it to? Like, what kind of stuff might they, if they enjoy that, would they enjoy this? That was the most convoluted way to say that.
It's okay. No, you're doing great.
Thank you.
See, now, I've never read any of Terry Pratchett's Discworld, but
I kept thinking of him the whole time.
Yes, I haven't read. Actually, you're asking me which book I might read next, Katie. I think I might read the first book of Discworld.
There you go. Get on the train.
Yeah, because that's what I've heard Orkonomics most
compared to.
Compared to is Discworld. So if you liked Discworld, any of the 30s from the books that they have, which is very daunting in my opinion, but I'm still going to give it a shot. It seems that you will like Orkonomics. If you like any of the Homeland trilogy by Ari Salvador, you'll like that as well.
If you're like a high fantasy person, do you think that'll relate pretty well to this book?
Yes, exactly. If you like high fantasy, you will enjoy this book, I think. I don't really want to compare it to Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit because
those are right?
Yeah, Wheel of Time. They're a bit more serious as well in some ways. So if you come in with that expectation that it's going to be a more of a serious book, then I mean,
but well, if first, you want well, to make fun read, of those books,
yeah. I'll say if you come in with that, first off, you didn't read the front page to
you
it.
Didn't so. Read the cover.
You didn't read the cover.
That's funny. Well, I think the orc in the Abraham Lincoln hat is a pretty.
Yeah, I think that should be pretty clear that this is not Lord of the Rings.
I have a follow-up question just out of curiosity. Of the places that are described in the book, is there any place you'd want to visit?
Oh, gosh. I would say the main city that they start off in, it's very interesting. The way it's mentioned, let me see if I could find the...
I was about to say, the problem with adventure in books is that a lot of the places they go to are not fun.
They're being attacked by giant spiders. Or...
Exactly. The main city is called Andoran, and it is the biggest city on that particular continent. And the way it's created is that it was carved out of a mountain. So there are different wards on the mountain. There's like ward 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 9.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's also kind of a driving factor in a not so subtle way about classism in there, because the people at the bottom are like the orcs, the kobolds, and everything. And then the further you get up, I mean, let me just say, you know, you got nothing but elves at level 9.
Right.
Yeah, we all knew it. Elves only.
I'm kidding. I love my elves. To anybody listening, I love y'all.
Okay. Well, so
that
so
is one place.
For coming to talk about this. I think this is our first, not only is it our first non, like, academic-y reason for reading, it's also our first, like, funny, like, fantasy book, you know?
I think. It's a very nice change of pace.
Yeah, something, especially, you know, I don't want to be that person. These days, it's nice to have something funny to read.
Yeah. And, like, poor Katie picked out a book that she wanted to read, and it started with a plague, so...
Yeah, that's true. And I picked up a lot of, you know, teen books, really, they're heavy on the angst sometimes. And not even angst, just like pain and heartbreak. So I think two books I read back to back were both about these like kids in like abusive homes and like how terrible their life was. And it ended on like a good note, but like the whole time I'm like sobbing, like, this is so bad. These poor children. So maybe this is my next reading.
I mean, weirdly, when you were talking about who would be an ideal audience, it was sounding kind of like a lot of what I read, because I've read R.A. and I read the Discworld series, not all of it, but a bunch of it. So
yeah. We'll pick it up.
Shoot, I really hope you do. Again, I cannot recommend these books enough. The first one is out, of course, for Orgnomics, which is the one I read. Second one is out as well, called Son of a Lich.
That's awesome. I love that.
And the third one is Dragonfired.
Dragonfired.
All of those titles are perfect. Thank you so much for bringing us some happy reads.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye-bye.